Kahu David is having a well-deserved week of rest. So we are very excited this morning to welcome MacArthur Flournoy, to the pulpit today. And we're also delighted that he has decided to make Crossroads his church home. I want to tell you a little bit about his amazing background. We've all just heard from him that he's just accepted the position of chaplain at IHS. So let me tell you a little bit of the background there. He's a theologian and preacher who is a graduate of Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley, where he earned his Master's of Divinity degree. He's also lived abroad in Nigeria, West Africa, where he adopted his only daughter. He's the father of four sons and grandfather of three grandsons. He's been a member of the United Church of Christ for more than 25 years, and he formerly served on the Justice and Witness Ministry Board of Directors of the UCC. He also has led numerous statewide campaigns to win marriage equality for LGBTQ families on behalf of the Human Rights Campaign. So we look forward to hearing his message this morning. And again, we're so happy to have him as part of our Ohana. Together this morning as Easter people, rejoicing that love has conquered death and Christ is with us as we celebrate. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. We gather in the name of the risen Christ.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
We gather as sisters and brothers of the resurrected one.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
We gather to share our faith and to worship God.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
We gather to proclaim the good news of Easter.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the gathering prayer. God of the resurrection, we gather this morning as a community of believers. We come with joy to greet one another and to tell again and again the amazing news. Christ is risen. Love is victorious over death. You have given us new life. In the name of your chosen one, may our singing, praying, listening, and proclaiming be a testimony to the power of your love to make us a new creation as a community of faith. We pray in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. The scripture reading today is from John chapter 20, verse 10 to 23. The disciples then went back home, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples. "I saw the Master," and she told them everything he had said to her. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and side. The disciples, seeing the Master with their own eyes, were awestruck. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" Thus ends the reading of the word.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
What a joy and a pleasure it is to share with you this morning. I want to lift up Kahu David and his family for their vacation. I know that to be a pastor is a demanding call, and I pray that he'll get adequate rest as we share our love and prayers with him and for him. In the life of every believer, there comes a time where we just feel depleted, we feel exhausted. And it's not unusual for us at times to even feel perhaps a season of depression. Perhaps we felt abandoned at some point, willing and hoping that someone would show up and do something for us to lift our spirit. This text is about a filling of the Holy Spirit, but it's also about something more. It is about the breath of God, the Ruach of God, as said in Hebrew. It's about a time and a place where people need to be loved in such a way that they found themselves hiding perhaps away from those who they feared would persecute them. Mary, the disciples, had witnessed the persecution of Jesus Christ. But we can contrast the disposition of Mary with the disposition of the disciples. Mary was waiting at the tomb to prepare his body for burial. She persisted. She stood there. And as she was waiting, we contrast that with the disposition of the disciples who had locked themselves behind closed doors. God desires to fill humankind with the power of the Holy Spirit. Understanding every pain that we feel, every sorrow we carry, the triune God seeks to breathe new life into each and every one of us as a whole, bar none. This is the love of God in action. God knows that we get weary at times. So there exists the Holy Spirit, commonly referred to as the effeminate dimension of the Godhead. She stands ready to bless us with a fresh anointing until our cup overflows. Womanist theologian, Dolores Williams suggests that the wilderness experience, the struggle between our physical reality and our spiritual transcendence, takes place in physical isolation, establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ, healing by Jesus, transformation, which is also conversion, and a return to the community. Mary Magdalene finds herself in a spiritual desolation that is overshadowed in the murky darkness of the wilderness and through Jesus, to see the beauty of the experience for spiritual renewal. Our text brings us to the intersection of fear, disappointment, grief, and anxiety as Mary and the disciples feel abandoned by Jesus. Imagine, if you will, 3 years, Jesus on earth, ministering to them, praying for them, moving about the world, conducting miracles. And then they think that he has come, this is our Messiah. And then they witness this gory, obscene death that takes place on a cross. What must that have been like for them to have felt abandoned by the one they thought was the Messiah? What could have gone through their hearts? Surely we have found him, only to witness him being crucified. What's more, this text highlights the presence of several women who were the first to see Jesus instead of the disciples with whom he prayed, ministered, and performed miracles. In the life of every believer, and if you would allow me, every member of humankind, there are times when we feel depleted, overcome by fear. And if we're downright honest, we may encounter a season of depression following a devastating loss. Grief may choose to climb into our beds and wrap its arms around us, choking the joy right out of us. But Christ has risen. Our text brings us face to face with Mary Magdalene as she stands outside Jesus' tomb, bewailing the Christ apparent loss. Her devotion is clear, as her intent is to prepare his body for burial. This passage of scripture allows us to contrast Mary Magdalene's devotion with the disciples' utter fear, who have locked themselves behind closed doors for fear of what others may say. Mary is looking for the living in the space of the dead. Have you ever found yourself looking for life in a place that was bereft of life? Greater still, having just witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they're fearful that the religious leaders of the day would visit that same fate on them. And so they chose to close door as their defense against fear and the possible persecution they may experience for being identified with Jesus. How many of us have tried to lock ourselves away? In this season of resurrection, we are invited to enter into spiritual renewal because of the resurrected Christ. Prior to Jesus' crucifixion, strict adherence to the law was the basis of our covenant with God. But Christ has risen. Can you recall a time in your life when perhaps you felt abandoned by God? Have you ever prayed to await an immediate response only to be met with profound silence? As if the Ancient of Days was on vacation, accepting neither calls, emails, or text messages marked urgent. Still, Christ has risen. But what is this text really about? From a womanist perspective, the core message here is one of transformation and regeneration. Mary Magdalene and the other women, along with the disciples, cannot see Jesus in the current state. Their focus, physical, is Mary Magdalene is looking for a physical body of Jesus with an eye towards the spiritual. Thomas is seeking to test Jesus. The body of Jesus is a natural physical realm, but his spiritual eyes remain. The disciples hide behind physical doors while Jesus moves through the same door spiritually. How often have we tried to lock ourselves away, metaphorically speaking, behind doors of fear, doors of accomplishment, doors of our material wealth, or doors of our attitude? Neither Mary or the other women at Jesus' tomb nor Jesus can see the resurrected Christ for who he really is. In this text, we are reminded about the Holy Spirit we cannot see, but we can certainly feel. You know, a couple of months ago when I decided to join Crossroads, the defining decision for me, the defining factor, is that I could sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of hospitality, the Holy Spirit of welcome. The welcome that I have received at Church of the Crossroads has been profound. It has been many years since I belonged to a church where I was actively involved. Being a minister, sometimes I just want to sit and listen. Sometimes I just want to know what it is to be fed. But Christ led me to Church of the Crossroads, and I believe the defining factor is the presence of a Holy Spirit. It's been a long while since I've met believers, since I met Christians who were so welcoming. And I'm not saying this out of fluff. I'm speaking from my heart. I know what it's like to feel abandoned by God. I know what it's like to go to a place looking for the living, only to discover the dead. Sometimes I wonder, where is Christ in the church? I've preached at many churches, and sometimes, just to be perfectly frank, I don't sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'll even go so far as to say there are times in recent years where I have felt embarrassed to call myself a Christian for those who have co-opted the term and take advantage of it. But I reclaim my Christianity in the name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you to reclaim your spirituality, rooted and grounded in Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit. This is something that we are entitled to. As a matter of fact, we are called to be renewed. In this second Sunday of Easter, we find ourselves looking around the world and wondering, and perhaps I wonder, and perhaps you wonder, where is Christ with all the chaos that we are witnessing? Where is the Holy Spirit that we are witnessing? But we need people full of the Holy Spirit. If ever there was a time when we need believers to stand up and to declare the love of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that time is now. You know, we all have moments of enormous victory, and yes, we also have times when we felt abandoned. What happens to the soul of humankind when at one point or another, we experience devastating loss, imbued by profound grief? Have you ever felt embarrassed? And have you ever felt abandoned by God? Even Jesus experienced a sense of abandonment when he cried out at 3 o'clock. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can contrast Mary Magdalene's disposition standing at the tomb looking for Jesus with the posture of the disciples who have locked themselves behind closed doors for fear of being identified as those who were part of Jesus' ministry. However, we find the risen Christ appearing both to Mary and to his disciples and blessing them in ways they never thought possible. You know, I call to mind a day a doctor stood before me and cavalierly stated, "You know you're HIV positive, right?" It was one of those moments where I felt as though I left my body and I hovered above, watching those words fall out of the uncaring physician. After a short visit, he left the exam room. He refused to touch me in any way. He stood afar off. And as these words were spoken, all I could feel was judgment. Moments later, his nurse entered the room. And she said, "Well, you know, you have about 2 years to live, so get your affairs in order." Friends, I want you to know that was 34 years ago. 5 children later, 3 grandsons, and a life full of purpose, I stand before you, and I believe the only reason is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of regeneration, the power of renewal. This is available to all of us, to all of humankind, that we would be renewed in our spirit, that we would be enlivened with the love of God, that no matter what we face, no matter what we fear, the power of the Holy Spirit is made available to each and every one of us. When fear takes hold, we can call on our faith and seek the face and the power of her, the Holy Spirit, to enliven us, to protect us, to guide us, to lead us, to endow us with such a power that we never grow weary. And when we do grow weary, that we have a solution, that Jesus has risen. Christ has risen. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us, no matter the diagnosis, no matter the prognosis, no matter the circumstance, no matter what we are facing. As we age, we can discover that God is reliable, more so than ever before. You know, for 3 years, I didn't say anything to anyone except my then wife about my HIV status. All I could feel was complete and total abandonment. At the time, I was a member of the church, and every Sunday, I would go to the altar, and I would wail at the altar, and I would say, God, please deliver me from this virus. If you deliver me from this virus, then I'll go all around the world and I'll testify that I was once HIV positive, but I am no more. All I could hear in my spirit was, MacArthur, my grace is sufficient for you. Friends, I want to share that with you this morning, that God's grace is sufficient for you. No matter the situation that you're facing, no matter the questions that you have, no matter the circumstances of your life, Christ has risen. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. May the power of the Holy Spirit fall upon you now, filling you, every cell of your body, with the Godhead, the member of the Godhead, her, the Holy Spirit. We ourselves are no different than Mary Magdalene or the disciples. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves looking for life in dead spaces. There are times in our life when we implore God to fix something, not realizing that God desires to bring about complete and total regeneration in the life of every believer. You know, I should be arrested for the plants that I've murdered over my life. I love plants. Somehow I overwater or I do things that just don't cause them to grow. But here's what I know, is that the power of the Holy Spirit can bring new life, can cause us to live in a space that is new, that is renewed. This passage of scripture is about regeneration. What it means to be born again. What it means to transcend something. Here we find ourselves looking at the scripture and seeing the disciples hiding behind closed doors. And for a long while, I thought, how cowardly is that? They should be out ministering. But then I had a new revelation in studying this passage of scripture. Yes, they were afraid, but what if you will, they were actually waiting to be endowed by the Holy Spirit? Could it be that they had reached the end of their ministry as they knew it, only to discover that God had called them into a new ministry, but it would require them to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, I found myself judging the disciples for hiding away. And then I had to reflect on my own life, where there have been times where I just want to hide. I have struggled with my call over my life. And at times I've had to say, Lord, why me? And the call is on every one of us, the priesthood of every believer, to live into the fullness of God, to minister to the world. If ever there was a time that we need the Holy Spirit, that time is now. Beneath the surface of these dense scriptures, there's a profound truth that emerges from the text. Jesus could have appeared to anyone immediately following his resurrection. However, he chose to appear to Mary Magdalene. In the ancient Near East, women were viewed and treated as second-class citizens in every sense of the word, lacking the most basic of human dignity and human rights. One might think Jesus would first appear to his disciples, those he taught, prayed with, and prophesied to for 3 years. But his first appearance is not to his disciples. It is to Mary Magdalene and other women. Rising from the text, we discover that Mary Magdalene and the other women become archetypes for those who stand on the margins of society, ostracized, alienated, and denigrated. Jesus always stands on the side of the marginalized. Theologian and 20th century mystic Howard Thurman says the gospel is particularly for those whose back is against the wall. In his seminal work, Jesus and the Disinherited, he writes, "It cannot be denied that too often the weight of the Christian movement has been on the side of the strong and the powerful against the weak and the oppressed. This despite the gospel," end quote. In my travels, I traveled to Ghana and we moved up the coast of Ghana and I came upon one of the infamous slave castles, the Elmina Castle. This huge white pristine structure, literally a castle. And at the very top of this castle, there was a chapel, big, beautiful chapel, just lovely. But then as you move down into the belly of the castle, there's the basement. And in the basement, you can literally smell the stench of human waste and decaying flesh. This is where they kept slaves that were destined to the West Coast or throughout America. In my prayers in that basement, I could hear the cries of those who had suffered loss, kidnapped, removed from their family, stolen away. It is here that they have what they call the gate of no return. As I returned, as I was in the castle, I was thinking, I have returned. My ancestors' blood, my ancestors' DNA is in me. But the point that I want to make is to contrast the castle, the chapel with the basement. It seems to me the church still has a basement. We still have places where we are not working. We still have places where we hold people hostage. We still have places where we leave the marginalized. They're there. And to be perfectly honest, I feel that somehow we've allowed those to co-opt Christianity and turn it into something altogether different than the ministry of Jesus. You know, as a nation, if ever there was a time that we needed Christ, that time is now. The Sunday before he was murdered, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King preached a sermon at the National Cathedral. He identified three evils that needed to be addressed in our nation: poverty, war, and racism. That was 53 years ago, and we are still contending with these evils. According to the National Women's Law Center, Asian women earn only 90% of every dollar as compared to their white male counterparts. White women are paid 82 cents, Black women 63 cents, and Latina women 55 cents. Economic disparities persist in our nation, fueling poverty supported by sexism and misogyny. In the last 14 months, fueled by racist attacks from a former president, 3,800 attacks have been perpetrated against Asian Pacific Islanders. Recently, a 65-year-old Asian woman was brutally punched and kicked in front of a hotel. The attack occurred in the presence of those who were onlookers watching. Two doormen witnessing the attack chose the horrendous act of closing the doors, and they locked the doors at a time when they could have intervened, at a time when they could have interceded, at a time when they could have protected this beautiful woman. Instead, they chose to lock the doors. Last year, the world looked on when a police officer had placed his knee on the neck of George Floyd for more than 9 minutes, killing him. The United States accounts for 25% of all those in prison in the world. The vast majority of those in prison are men of color who committed nonviolent crimes, most of whom were drug related. People of color account for 58% of those in prison in the United States. Sentencing disparities are rampant. We imprison more people in the United States than any other place in the world. Endowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to bear witness to these evils. not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need people who are full of the Holy Spirit now, not just for personal gain, but to be witnesses for those for the just, to be witnesses of the love of Christ, to be witnesses that the power of the Holy Spirit can heal and make us whole at a time when we are torn and fragmented. We're called to stand against these great evils in opposition to sexism, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and other forms of oppression. God have mercy. You know, we can do justice work, but justice work must be fed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It must be fueled by our attachment to this, the Godhead. Sometimes, and I've discovered in doing justice work, the work itself can become our God, where we are so committed to justice that we leave Jesus out. But Zechariah reminds us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. This is what the Lord is calling us to do today. This is what God is calling us to do, not to rely on our own spirit, but to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't mind sharing with you that the first time I became a pastor, I would listen to the prayer request. I would pray for my people, and I found myself feeling burned out very quickly. And the lesson for me is that I was called to be an ambassador of the Holy Spirit, not to be the Holy Spirit. As we do justice work, we're called to bear witness. We're called to intercede. We're called to take strategic, decisive action fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we lean into justice work without leaning into Jesus, then we are setting ourselves up for disappointment, and we are letting down a world who's in dire need of the love of God, the power of God. At first glance, it may appear that the disciples are currently hiding away from Jesus' tormentors for fear of persecution. But I'm convinced something else is going on here. They needed a fresh anointing to do the work that was before them. They needed Jesus to breathe upon them the Ruach of God, that is to say, the breath of God. When the Bible says that he breathed on them, the root word is the same word used in Genesis 2:7 when it says, God breathed life in the humankind. God have mercy, God breathe upon us. May God breathe upon you. May God fill your lungs and your spirit and your heart with the power of the Holy Spirit. As justice-seeking people, we are called to do the work by the power of the Holy Spirit, not our power exclusively, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. As a member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit desires to embolden us, enliven us, endow us with an infinite source of exousia and dunamis, that is to say, authority and power. The breath of God comes with authority, not our own authority, but the love of God. So as we move from resurrection to regeneration, by virtue of Jesus' resurrection, this text is about resurrection power. This text is about regeneration. This text is about renewal. This text is about waiting on God as we wait in God, as stated by Henry Nouwen from his book, The Wounded Healer. We're called to stand against all great evils in opposition to sexism, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and most egregious, our indifference to poverty. We can stand in the power. We are called to be stewards of our creation, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Next week is Earth Day, and thanks be to God, we can be renewed in every aspect of our lives simply through prayer. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that phenomenal? That whenever we grow weary, whenever we grow tired, even in our basic daily lives, that we can call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on God while he is near. Friends, I invite you to invoke the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer for anything you do for the kingdom of God. Left to our own devices, we will surely burn out. But this is the day that we can call upon God. This is the day that we can seek renewal. This is the day that we can be refreshed. There is a fresh anointing awaiting you. And the only thing we need to do is pray. Invite. We can do nothing that will endure in our lives without the power of the Holy Spirit. The resurrection brings about transformation and transcendence through radical conversion, transfiguration in the life of God's children. So today I leave you with this thought. The power of the Holy Spirit is abundant. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to you. The power of the Holy Spirit desires to fill you, to fuel you, to give you life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, MacArthur, for those powerful words. And we move now into a time of prayer. May we each breathe in, knowing that this is the breath that God has given to each one of us. And even though we are not in the same room together, we are connected by Zoom and by the Holy Spirit. And as I offer these prayers, I offer them for the whole community. And if you would please respond by saying, God, hear our prayer. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Liz. I've been at Crossroads for over 40 years now. Amazing. I was brought up in a very conservative, strict church. And I was not, when I left after nursing school, I was not anxious to really join another church. But I came to Crossroads to sing in the choir. And I was really touched by the welcoming, accepting, the many cultures, all the wonderful Japanese and Chinese people that welcomed me and wanted to get to know me, and the different viewpoints. I've also been touched by the social action of our church, acceptance of many, many others, and our care ministry that I was a part of and still am a part of for a long time. Our angel network that Kahu and several other people organized this past year so we could reach out to everyone in the congregation during this pandemic and make sure people were not alone, that they knew that someone cared about them and would talk to them. Our faith action for community equity, which I'm part of also, and the many wonderful things that they do. And we're such wonderful members of that community organization. And they're working on housing now and immigration issues. And amazing, amazing to me, I was gobsmacked that last year in the middle of the pandemic, Church of the Crossroads invested over $6,000 in faith action. That's just a testament of who we are. Also solidarity with other groups, especially welcoming of LGBT people and their sisters and brothers, and a new project that we're working on with the Waianae community, a church out there that work with the homeless people. And that has just been wonderful. And just touched recently by just people reaching out to people, helping people with technology challenges like mine, and just giving of ourselves. It's just so heartening. I'm touched all the time by our church. It's a wonderful place. So please, when you're thinking of tithing or giving, give generously as you can. I want to just end with a wonderful poem by Dr. Maya Angelou, who's one of my favorite people. She has inspired me greatly. We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity. In the flush of love's light, we dare be brave. And suddenly we see that love costs all we are and ever will be. Yet it is only love which sets us free. Loving and forgiving God, we are so grateful for your presence in our lives, knowing that you love us always, even when we feel unlovable or we forget you. Anoint us with renewal and love as you breathe into us. Amen.
We are ready for you, Pastor.
Well, thank you. Merciful and loving God, we come before you today thanking you for your presence with us and for us. We invite you, Lord, to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Renew us. We invite your regeneration. We thank you. And as we take our leave, we ask that you be with us as we go. Breathe new life into each and every one of us. We consider it done. We thank you and we bless you now. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.